Hey everyone, Dr. Miles here. This is Module 4, Video 7, about intestinal permeability testing. Testing for intestinal permeability can be helpful, and when there's some signs that intestinal permeability may be at play in someone's symptom picture or disease process, there is some utility in testing for seeing if it's really an issue and worth treatment. If there have been previous gastrointestinal infections, or IBS, if there's been a parasite infection, or irritable bowel syndrome, those would be cases, or if there's SIBO or SIFO, those would be cases when likely there's intestinal permeability as well. You can test in those cases. Sometimes it is able to be assumed that there's intestinal permeability, and just proactive treatment post-treatment of SIBO or SIFO could be fine as well. So sometimes testing can help, sometimes testing is unnecessary because we're going to assume and treat anyway. But certainly we see a high incidence of intestinal permeability when there's been a gut infection, an overgrowth, or IBS. Autoimmune disease, we see a strong connection between leaky gut and autoimmune disease. So if there's an autoimmune disease diagnosis, that may be a time to look for intestinal permeability. If there are a lot of food allergies or food sensitivities, so maybe some people will have true allergies to food, other people have a lot of sensitivities. And so particularly with sensitivities, when someone doesn't have an IgE reaction, but they do say, gosh, when I eat that food, I don't feel great, I feel inflamed, I get diarrhea, I get constipation, I get bloated, that's a sign that there may be leaky gut. So Dunwoody Labs has an advanced intestinal barrier permeability assessment, and that is a great test which looks for zonulin levels. And zonulin is a protein that's been associated with going up very high when there's intestinal permeability. One of the things that Dr. Alessio Fasano's found is that gluten can raise zonulin levels, regardless of whether someone is celiac or not, or even non-celiac, gluten sensitive or not. There may be zonulin increases after consumption of gluten for many individuals. And so zonulin is one thing to look for, as well as considering gluten-free. The histamine that's tested for in the Dunwoody lab test is also a fantastic thing to see. Is there potentially histamine sensitivity? Diamine oxidase enzyme is involved in breaking down histamine. And so having a blood histamine and a DAO level is really looking, in a sense, for histamine sensitivity and or a mast cell activation syndrome. And there's connections with leaky gut, so that's why it's here. And also the independent of whether there's intestinal permeability, knowing if there's histamine sensitivity can be very, very helpful. And in some cases, this test is worth it just to see if there's a histamine sensitivity. So if we're dealing with someone who has we're assuming leaky gut or intestinal permeability, and we're treating that anyway, we might not want to run this test. But if they start to really, even after we've treated SIBO or SIFO and done a little gut repair, they're still having some weird digestive symptoms, maybe some fatigue, maybe some headaches and head issues, and maybe some sinus issues, and they're not tolerating what are usually healthful foods like fermented foods, then we might want to look for histamine. And so in that case, this test is fantastic for finding a histamine level and a DAO level, and looks at a ratio between the two as well. In the next video, we're going to show you a lab example. So you get to see what this lab looks like, and it measures a few other things as well. So like LPS antibodies, and LPS lipopolysaccharide is something that we shouldn't see high levels of antibodies in the blood against, because with a healthful gut barrier, it would normally be contained in the gut rather than getting into the bloodstream and exacerbating the immune system. Now, lots of research is here around with intestinal permeability is around the lactulose mannitol tests. And the lactulose mannitol test is not the best test. It's not our preferred test for intestinal permeability, even though a lot of research uses lactulose mannitol to identify intestinal permeability, there are many problems with that test. Basically, in that test, a patient would drink a lactulose mannitol solution, and the urine is measured to see how much is left in the urine versus how much got absorbed. And problems with this test, you know, it's assumed that what gets into the urine is what's been absorbed, but there are several problems. One problem is the GI motility. So motility issues can be a problem, and lactulose is a laxative, and lactulose is going to increase GI motility. And so that is something that influences this and can throw the test results off. Non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs can also they can increase the urinary excretion of lactulose and mannitol and give a false positive. Small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, if present, can consume lactulose. So even though lactulose normally wouldn't be absorbed through the intestines in great quantities, it may be falsely low because a small intestinal bacterial overgrowth is consuming it. It's not getting quite as far through the intestines, and so that's throwing off the amounts. And lots of foods have mannitol and some have lactulose in them, and so you have to really be cautious with what did a person eat, because in order for this test to be effective, we have to have a stable amount and a known amount of lactulose and mannitol in order to get proper measurements in the urine. And research really suggests that only molecules larger than about 5,000 Daltons change intestinal epithelial cell permeability and promote an inflammatory response. Lactulose and mannitol are below 500 Daltons and thus much smaller than are needed. In other words, if they're escaping, someone could have not intestinal permeability. They may have intestinal permeability enough to let lactulose and mannitol through, which are 500 Daltons, but maybe the permeability is not enough to let through a 5,000 Dalton molecule. And that's where at 5,000 Daltons, we see the really big problems in the epithelial permeability, and that's what promotes an inflammatory response. So let's say someone's intestines are allowing through lactulose and mannitol, but only allow through particle sizes up to 2,000 Daltons or 3,000 Daltons. That actually would not be clinically relevant in terms of a problem. So it wouldn't cause the inflammatory cascade that intestinal permeability over 5,000 Daltons would cause. So for these reasons, we don't like lactulose mannitol testing, and for permeability, it has some shortcomings, and so the antigens, like the antibodies for LPS, give us a much better sense for if there's actual inflammatory byproducts from permeability, and that gives us a better sense for if there's active permeability happening. So that's why we don't like the lactulose mannitol testing, and we prefer an antibody test that includes LPS antibodies and zonulin, and it's nice to get the addition of histamine and DAO as well. Next video, we'll be talking about the interpretation of testing for intestinal permeability. So we'll show you the labs and show you how to interpret those labs so that you know what intestinal permeability looks like and how to base treatments on those labs. Look forward to having that information to you in the next video, and have a great day.